Put the song to lead into what I'm about to read. Our God is Ancient of Days. And I'm reading from John. This is basically what Jesus said. I am God of Ancient of Days. John chapter 8, we use this before we take communion. John chapter 8, verse 48 to 59. The Jews answer him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" He's talking to Jesus. "I am not possessed by a demon," say Jesus, "but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." At this, the Jews exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keep your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I say I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my days. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," the Jews said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they pick up stone to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slip away from the temple grounds. "Before Abraham was born, I am." So Jesus is that Ancient of Days. And he is transcends time and space. You know, when John says the Word became flesh, that is God breaking into our time and space. Everything Jesus teaches us in the scriptures is about the other side of time. It's about the other side of time. So sometimes it's hard to understand because he's speaking on the other side of time, beyond the time and space. So as we come and remember Jesus, we remember him. He is the one who holds time in his hand. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because he is not bounded by time, and that's why you, as you go into eternity, you're also not bounded by time. So give God the thanks as you partake the communion. You hold it until that we all get a chance to take it. And like I said before, this is an open communion in the sense that if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, but you have not yet had the opportunity to get baptized, you are still welcome to take this communion, because this communion is for the believers. It's believer. And if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're still seeking, we ask you to temporarily hold it until the time when you receive him as Jesus, as your Savior. You please stand. This represents the body of Christ, broken for us. We think about the suffering that he endured on the cross. And not for him, but for us. Let's take it with gratefulness. This is the blood of Jesus Christ as a sign of new covenant that he made with us. And we take it by faith. We know that his blood covers all of our sin and unrighteousness. So when we drink of it, we believe, if we confess, that he will forgive all of our sins and our unrighteousness. Let's take it by faith. Lord, thank you, Jesus. You said it's finished. It's finished. No one can add, no one can subtract, take away from your great salvations. We thank you that we all belong to you, that one day we will behold our faith. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. My subject this morning is called time management. You know, as I preparing this, I figure it's good to talk to our student about time management. How do you utilize your time? But you know, I wonder, is it we manage time or time manage us? How many of you have watch? Why do you have a watch? Because you can make it to your appointment. The time, the watch tell you you're late. The watch tell you it's time to go. Right? So I wonder, you know, are we managing time or time managing us? Interesting questions. You know, we're always short of time, right? And maybe for retired people, we say, oh, I have all this time, I don't know what to do with it. But for young people, especially people in school, you're always short of time. You know, when Bible speak of time, it's not thinking of 24 hours increment. It is often spoken, I say, lifetime, or an era, or years, or seasons. This is not to suggest 24 hours time frame is not important. But it is not enough to do any meaningful measurement of one's life. You know, when you talk about time management, we are talking about managing 24 hours. But then 24 hours plus 24 plus 24 plus 24, before you know it, it's a week. Before you know it, it's a month. Before you know it, it's a year. So I think from that perspective, 24 hours is important. But the totality of your 24 is probably what is more important. So I think this is what Psalms 90 is talking about. It is written by Moses. If you have your Bible, it tells you it's a prayer of Moses, man of God. So Psalm 90 and 91 goes together. Now, according to the Jewish traditions, is that both are written by Moses. And 90 and 91 speak of God's, how God deal with his people. I'm not sure Moses know how much time he had left on earth, but he did have plenty of life experiences, leading the Jewish people out of Egypt, suffering through the 40 years of wilderness because of the stubbornness of God's people. So Moses has a I think, a special perspective on the time. I think it helped us to see the totality of 24 plus 24 plus 24. It helped us to give us a big picture before we come back and trying to manage our 24. So this is Psalm 90. This is, I think, the Psalm 90 give us that big pictures. It does not tell you when you should get up, when you should go do your homework, when you should not play your games. It doesn't tell you that. Okay, let's read it. Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back to dust, saying, return to dust, O son of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that had just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep man away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it spring up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignations. You have set your iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our day pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long would it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of your hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let's pray. Lord, you are our Ancient of Days. And we pray, Lord Jesus, you elevate us into heaven. So, Lord, we look at our lives today, our 24, from the eternal perspective. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So the first thing Moses wants us to remember is he did not start with, God, you are the creator of time. He did that on the second verse. But the first verse, that he is remembering what God has done for them in their days. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Moses can remember the time when his ancestor Abraham, how God had took Abraham and his descendant to Egypt, and how God had looked after this group of people. 70, it started with 70 who moved to Egypt under Joseph's care. And then many years later now, they have thousands upon thousands of descendants of Abraham and how God had looked after them, blessed them with children, feed them with food. And then quickly, Moses thought about how God parted the Red Sea and how that the whole nation of Israel moves through dry land. And then the time in the wilderness, how God fed them with manna, with quails, with water gushing from the rock. All these things come back to Moses as he began his prayer. Lord, you are our dwelling place. You are our dwelling. You are always our refuge. You are always the person that we can depend on. And not just my generations, not just Moses' generation, not just the generations that came out of Egypt, but the generations before Moses, the generation of Abraham. So he's overwhelmed with that. That's why he started with thanksgiving. God, you are, or admission, a confession. Lord, you are our dwelling place. Yahweh is God of Israel. And Israel had the confidence they can rest in the everlasting arm of God. This is what Moses thought of. And then Moses went on, verse 2, began to be amazed by the creativity of God. You are from everlasting to everlasting. He's saying that God has no beginning, no end, right? Man has a beginning and an end. This is to recognize a man lives in time and God does not. God choose to live in time. Jesus choose to live in time, to be a constant companion to his people. But he does not get old and die. Well, actually, he does get old. He went from baby to 33 years old, but he never dies. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in these two verses, Moses put man in his right frame of mind. Man lives in time which God created along with mountains, earth, and the world. And God is man's refuge and dwelling place. Man is secure and safe when he dwells in God. Psalm 91, like I said, is actually the companion song of Psalm 90, also written by Moses. And this is what he says. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wing you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroy at midday. God will always be your refuge. And in verse 3 to 6 in Psalm 90, it's talk about the trenchiness and the destiny of man. See, 3 and 6, it seems so pessimistic, right? Return to dust, O son of man. You sweep men away in the sleep of death, and they are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning, spring out, in the evening, is dead and dry. It just seems to say that life seems to be insignificant. And there's briefness of life. Just think about your time in UVA. How many years? 4 years. And if you play games all the time, maybe 5 years, right? For PhD students, it's about 5 years, IS. Medical student, 4 years. But that's after 4 years of college. So that's 8 years. I mean, we say, oh, that seems to be long. But to the Lord, 1,000 years is a day. 1,000 years is a day. So it is small, even in your own estimations, that if you live to 70, 80 years, so like Moses said, if you're healthy, you can live to 80. 4 or 5 years of 80 years is still a very brief period of time. But it is not insignificant. It suggests that life has no meaning without recognizing God. Life is without meaning without recognizing God. I'm not suggesting that God has prearranged everything that happens to you, or the detail of life happens to you is predestined. But these verses lead to a conclusion that man does not live apart from God. Man does not live apart from God. If you think you can, then you are foolish. And I think here, when Moses brings in the years, you know, 1,000 years and day and night watch and all that, he's bringing our time into his psalm. He recognized we live in this time. But often we treat time as a commodity. In other words, something to be used for good or for bad. And we get a new 24, fresh 24 at midnight. It's like an inexhaustible ATM that you can withdraw day after day. And this is why we are interested in how to manage our this 24, how to best utilize our time, and how not to waste our time. For Moses, the discussion is not about time, but about the man. It is about man living in this time and space and the transient nature of our existence. He did recognize that. However, he also, in these verses, told us it is not about how to manage our time, but how to live in time. Like I said in the beginning, it is not about 24 hours time frame. It is totality of one's life. And what kind of life is that? What kind of life is that? Verse 7 to 12, it's not a good life. I don't know why people want to live long life. Because from verse 7 to 12, you just see that what we do as people, God is upset with us. God is angry. So I don't know why people want to live long so they can accumulate more of God's anger. You know, Moses does not paint a trouble-free life or life is a beach picture. He paints a terrifying life of a man under God's wrath. God is angry at us. The more time you have, the more accumulation of the anger. This is Romans 3 says, reinforce what Moses said here. Romans 3 is Paul's theology of gospel. But before the gospel is a honest look at man. It says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of viper is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is a totality of man. This is how Paul summarized for us. This is why God is angry with us. This is why God is angry. And there is no fear of God in their eyes. And it is no wonder, like in Moses said, teach us number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is fear of God. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, right? So this is what Moses says. You live in this, situation where God is angry because of your sin. Because of sin. Here, time is not our ally or a gift, but it's an accumulating evidence against us. What are we supposed to do? Can you do something righteous so God will be pleased with you? Well, I don't think so. Nothing we can do. We moan. Our life is nothing but trouble and sorrow. We recognize it. We admit it. Before we know it, it quickly pass away. We can only, as Moses asked, Lord, teach us number our day. Teach us, number our day means let us be alert. It's not like, there is an acronym about that you live each day without regret. What is that called? Oh, yeah, YOLO. YOLO, you know. What does that mean? Why? Oh, you only live once. So, have a ball. Play hard. No, that it doesn't mean that. Number our days means that we are to live in the alert so that we can live a righteous life. That's a wisdom. That's wisdom. Then, through this troubled time, afflictions, troubled times, when we're in this trouble and afflicted life, what do we do? Verse 13 to 17. This is where I had the most trouble when I prepare. I know God is angry. I know the wrath of God. And because the gospel taught us is that the wrath of God is on his son. So we are spared of his wrath. So the wrath of God is reality. I also know that our dwelling place is in the Lord. And that's our refuge. But here in verse 13 to 17, especially troubling is verse 15. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us for as many years as we have seen trouble. Asking God, make us glad as many years as we, as you have afflicted us. You know, it is easy to for me to preach to you this, how God loves you, how God has compassion on you, you that you should sing joy when your enemies, you know, say bad things about you. But what about preaching these words to your enemy who bombs your home? When your loved ones are killed, just going to get food for the family. I don't know if I have the conviction to tell them, God loves you and God is compassionate. The victim may cry out, where is God? Where is God? What can this song, especially Psalm, verse 15, speak to the Palestinian, to the Ukrainians? I'm struggling. I had to stop. I said, how is this make sense to people who are actually afflicted, who actually suffering? It's easy for me to say to you, you guys are not being afflicted or suffer. But how does this verse mean anything to people who are actually killed, loved one killed, leg blown off? It just doesn't make any sense for Moses to tell the Ukrainian and Palestinian to ask God to make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, as many days that we see trouble and sufferings. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe Moses can preach that. I stop here and ask God, why should I ask for rejoicing and glad in afflictions and troubled lives? You know, this is probably not even for Moses to preach to the Palestinian or to the Ukrainian. Not appropriate for Moses to preach to them. But it is appropriate for Jesus to say those words. It is appropriate for Jesus to say that. Because Isaiah 53, you read the suffering of Jesus Christ. He suffered, he was pierced by his enemies. And the suffering sometimes is too gruesome to imagine. You ask, Jesus, where is the joy in you hanging on the cross? When people were spitting at you, and people mock you, if you are God, why don't you come down from that cross? Then we all believe you. Where is the joy and gladness in that picture? But if you turn to Hebrews 12, this is so amazing for me to see that. Hebrew 12, verse 2 and 3. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such oppositions from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus is the only one that can preach, have joy in afflictions, have joy in suffering. Because he had that. Jesus not asking God, says, God, give me joy when I'm hanging on the cross. But he has seen what will become. He has seen what will become, and that give him joy. That give him joy. Sufferings and afflictions is time bound. It is in time that you suffer and you are afflicted. What Jesus saw is something beyond time. He sees himself as the first one to raise from the dead. And then there are many of his brothers that go with him. Many of us go through him. He sees that he himself sitting down at the right hand of God. He sees that. The only thing that makes sense for me is that for these people who are afflicted in Palestine, in Ukraine, it's not focusing on, I mean, you're there to comfort them. You're there to comfort them if you get a chance. You're to comfort them. But we are to turn their eyes away from the present circumstances into something that is timeless. Timeless. It's easy for me to say the Bible says this. Joy and hope often go hands in hand. Joy and suffering is part of life. But that is the reality of life. That's the reality of life. And you guys all are young people. You may not have the perspective of Moses, who has himself had gone through affliction and sufferings. Maybe not to the point like Jesus, but he himself has gone through that. So getting back. What does this have to do with time management of your daily lives? That's what I started with. How is this psalm relevant to my busy schedule every day? Well, I don't know. I don't think when Moses wrote Psalm 90, he has UVA students or parents in mind. But reading Psalm gives us a certain wisdom. It's about the recognition that God is the creator of time. Even your time of trouble and afflictions I'm not saying God has a hand, because a sinful man has a hand in your affliction and sufferings. But it is happening in this time and space. But God is through Moses. It is not just about using the time I have, but living with the time I have. Living with the time I have. You know, the great wise man, Gandalf, in the Lord of the Ring, say this. You know, when one of the hobbits asked him, what would become, because they were surrounded by all these orcs and all this evil, and they are going to invade this white city. And the hobbit says, what's going to happen? You know, is this the end of our time? Gandalf said, you don't have to worry about that. You just worry about the time given to you. You just worry about the time, what you do with the time that's given to you. That is what we're talking about, is that time given to us, thinking that this is a time that God has kindly given us. And how do I stack up 24 plus 24 plus 24, become a life that is pleasing to God? So as you get set to run the race, I think you just started, right? I mean, your semester. You just started this semester. And UVA won this first game. Yeah. Maybe the last game too. I don't know. But as you start this new semester, the psalm teaches us that it's not just about the daily grind, but the race is race of lifetime. Beginning of the race of a lifetime. The race with ups and downs, challenges and celebrations, afflictions and joy. With all these life experiences waiting for you. And may we see God's work through all of them. And we also always seek the Lord to satisfy us in the morning with His unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have breath, because you say life is transient and life is brief. We thank you that every morning that you have given us new breath. And we also thank you, Lord, that you gave us that 24. And we pray, Lord Jesus, you help us to stay close to you, to dwell in you. Let you be our refuge. Everything may happen not as we planted around us, but Lord, we know that these things has your great purpose. Then we look forward to not just the resolution of these things or completion of assignment, but we look forward to the time that you have designated for us. At a time that we will be with you, beholding our Ancient of Days. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.